Appreciate the prayer and ask each of you just continue to pray for me. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to call your attention to a passage of Scripture found in the New Testament in the book of Philippians. I'm reading this morning right from the first chapter of Philippians, beginning at verse 1. Paul here is writing by inspiration of God. That's important for us to recognize that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, and that is complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we know that what we're reading from this morning is God's inspired word, God-breathed, God-given, and it fits whatever needs we have in this world, as the Lord allows us to have understanding of His Word. We have it on record, left for us, and we can come to it and glean from it the things that we need. We also know God knows what we need better than we know what we need. We sometimes feel like we need to hear this or we need to speak this. As a minister, I sometimes feel like, well, the congregation may need this. As members of the congregation, sometimes we think, well, we sure need a preacher to come and preach this subject to us, or we need to have some understanding more about some other passage. But today, better than you or me or anyone else in this world, anybody, any high-minded person or low-minded person, we trust in the Lord. And we look to Him for that guidance and that direction. And knowing the one who inspired Paul to write and the rest of the writers of the Bible to write is able to lead us today to a particular passage in this volume that he's given us on record, to a place that would be a benefit to you as the Lord's people. I hope you've come praying that the Lord would do that. I tried my best this morning. Brother Charles prayed this morning and just asked God to lead us and bless us, knowing that without His blessing, we won't be able to be a benefit to the Lord's people in a ministerial way, all right, and sharing the gospel. And I don't know how you feel. I kind of do. Gospel has meant so very much to me. The truth of God's word has meant so very much to me. The truth of His salvation, complete and finished in Jesus, and all that He's done for me. And hearing it again and again is something that has encouraged me and strengthened me more than any other message in this world. As a matter of fact, all the other messages would really be empty. Any of the other message wouldn't have any weight to them if it were not for the message of salvation, the message of God's saving grace and what He's done for His people and the finished work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The passage reads, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel, from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. It says, after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. I love the way that Paul by inspiration of God, always points us back to our purpose and our reason for being alive. And our reason for being here today, it all ultimately goes back to the praise of Almighty God, to His honor and to His praise, because that's the most important thing we can do. The most important activity and responsibility you have in your life is to praise the Lord and to thank the Lord. Praise Him, honor Him, glorify Him. When God's people meet, as we have this morning, in a church capacity, and we in a church capacity are able to meet together and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, it is to the praise and the honor and the glory of the Lord. When we come together, we do get fed and we grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. But the purpose of that is that you might go out and take the name of Jesus with you and live in a way to bring grace, bring glory and honor and praise to the Lord. And that even in working out what He has worked in, it's still by His grace that that happens. And even our good works, which are not that which we have produced out of our own nature, but which comes out of the very inward working of the Lord, so the glory and the honor belongs to the Lord, ultimately returns to the honor and praise of the Lord. And it's not only about what we're doing this morning that is to praise the Lord, but we get from the teaching of God's Word preparation to allow us to live our lives in a way that honor and praise the Lord. Your relationships you have in your family, our major concern ought to be about praising the Lord in those relationships. That'll keep you from hurting one another sometimes when you have situations in your life where you're ready to give up and you're ready to quit and you're ready to walk the other way because it's not working out the way we want it to work out. It's not happening like we thought it ought to happen. I'm not getting the response that I was expecting to get. I put in a lot here. Most time we're mistaken about that, but we feel from our own personal nature, we put in a lot. We don't seem like we're not getting much back by what we're putting in until you really remember where you are by nature and what you truly deserve and how good God's grace has been. Just stop and think about that this morning. How good has God's grace been to us? Paul is talking to this little church, and I love to think about the beginning of this little church because you read about that over in Acts chapter 16 and 17 where, first of all, Paul went to this place not being led of his own ideas or thoughts or some group of people sending him there, but the Spirit of the Lord came to Paul, and in a vision the Lord showed Paul that there was a people over in Macedonia, and Philippi was a major city in Macedonia that needed to hear the wonderful good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there wasn't a people over there that needed to become children of God because they were already God's people in covenant chosen before the foundation of the world. They already belonged to the Lord. Even when Paul came up on the scene, he found little sister Lydia, and they were meeting by the river. We sang down by the river or something, some song like that this morning that was talking about the wonderful ordinance of baptism. But there was a place where prayer was ought to be made, and there they were meeting, and here Paul comes and preaches to Lydia and her household, and they hear about the wonderful finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they desire to follow Him in obedience to His commandments of baptism, and I believe in a scriptural walk, because the church at Philippi no doubt had that family in it. And then Paul preached the gospel, and you would think everything would really be going smooth. If the Lord's in the matter, He wouldn't have any trouble, right? He wouldn't have any problems. But there was a great conflict there where there were those who did not want him preaching what he was preaching. This being a little Roman colony. Here the Apostle Paul, as he was preaching these things, there were those who brought charges against them because they were messing up things. I mean, you know, as God's little children stand in this world the right way, there'll be those who stand in opposition to you simply because they were opposed to Christ. And if we follow Christ, as the Bible says, if we follow Him, those who oppose Him will oppose us. Now, if we look like the world and act like the world and talk like the world, you'll get along in the world pretty good, but the Lord will whip you. And I'll tell you, you'd rather be in fellowship with the Lord and an enemy in the world than a friend of the world and in the chastisement and under the chastisement of the Lord. You can see the Lord won't let loose of you. If God's working your heart, you can be rebellious. You can run in a way trying to get away from that. You can almost kind of say, well, I think I'll just forget that. I'll just go another way, walk another path. I'll just act like nothing really happened to me. You know, like the disciples said, let's just go fishing. All of them said, we'll go. Yeah, let's go. He said, tarry. But they said, well, we want to go fishing. Well, they got out there and fished and caught nothing. Caught none. You know the Lord can cause you to catch, and me, catch nothing. You been there? You been there just trying to get enough of this and enough of that, and you're storing it up, and as the Old Testament said, you're putting it in a bag with holes in it. And the more you put in the bag to store up, the more you see an empty bag. And I'll tell you, all the glory and the glitter of this world, all it holds, means nothing if you don't have the fellowship of the Lord of glory. If you don't feel the friendship of the Master who died for you on Calvary's tree, if you can't feel close to Him, the brightest day is dark. And if you feel Him, you can be in the darkest storm and the darkest problem of your night, of your life. In the midnight hour, He's a song in the night. And He's that strength and that rest and that light. And in Him, the Bible says, it doesn't matter what kind of dark you're in. When you're with the Lord, in Him is no darkness at all. Isn't that good? That means we have all that we need to live. And that's what He's sharing here again with this church that He's already preached that to. And He's taught that to. And here they're gathered. And He's got a... And in that church also, there's this jailer that didn't treat the Apostle Paul very well when he first met him. As a matter of fact, we've tried to talk about that before, but that old Philippian jailer was doing his job and following the commandments and put the Apostle Paul in captivity and beat him and you know, all the things that he was charged to do. And yet all of a sudden something happened to him that night, didn't it? Something happens in your life. Has something happened in your life? I pray it has. I want you to know, if it has, I didn't begin that work, and you didn't begin that work. The Bible says He began it, and it's a good work, and that's not a work that the preaching of the gospel does for you. That's the gospel can tell you about it, but the Lord, if the Lord hadn't done the work, the gospel won't mean anything to you. But if the Lord has done the work in your heart, and He's begun that work in you, there's a wonderful blessing in the gospel in coming and shining a light in the life the Lord's given you and letting you know who you are and what the Lord's done for you and why it is, you know, like it is with you, that there's something different in you that you didn't do, couldn't do it for yourself. You see, everything that I'm saying this morning would be absolute nonsense to you, and you would just, it would be, not only would you stand in neutral about it, it would be that which it enmity against your very natural mind. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh, and that means in the flesh only, cannot please God. Today we cannot please God in the flesh. We cannot come. You and I can come in the flesh, but we won't be pleasing God. We know what we do in the flesh. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And in that list, not one good thing is there. We have them. If it wasn't for God's grace and mercy, they would be sufficient enough to send every one of us to a place of torment forever and ever. The good news is this. Salvation's of the Lord. And the one who died on the cross knew every sin we'd ever commit and took those sins in His own body. And there at Calvary, He paid a price we could not pay. And we by His grace were not only chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world in a covenant of grace between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, but the Son came willingly as God sent Him, as the Father sent Him. He came down from heaven to do not His own will, but the will of Him that sent Him. And He said, this is that Father's will, that of all that He had given me, He would lose nothing. Boy, that's good. If He'd have turned this over to man, what a mess man would have made of it. But He didn't. And He got every one of them. And He works in them. He works in them all over this world. all over this world. He has a people out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every people. He can reach in a mother's womb and quicken a little babe and cause it to leap for joy. Maybe a baby that never sees the light of day, but that work of grace takes place and there's a new creature in that mama that wasn't like it was before. And that work of grace is regeneration, where life is given to the dead. Not naturally dead, because the baby was naturally alive, but spiritually dead. There was no life in it spiritually, because we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And every one of us were in that condition and would have remained there had it not been for the work of a triune God. A God who loved you enough to send His Son to die for you, and a Holy Spirit who's powerful enough to come and do a work in your heart that no one else can do. But when He does it, it's just that easy to Him. I think when I read this, I know I quote this passage a lot, but I think about it. When the Lord in the beginning said, "Let there be light," He didn't ask permission. He didn't say, "Please, somebody help me turn the light on." He said, "Let there be light." And the Bible says there was light. And I'm telling you, when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, He didn't say, "Lazarus, can I have your permission?" He stood there at the tomb and He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And there's no power on this earth that could have kept Lazarus from coming out of that grave. No power. I'm telling you, He came forth, bound hand and foot, and wearing that banner around His head, wrapped up in grave clothes. And He looked at His disciples and said, "Loose him and let him go." The Apostle Paul came to those brethren at Philippi, not in order to raise the dead, because the Lord's already done that, but he came to do what the Lord said do. You loose them and let them go. There's some loosing in the gospel. Y'all came to get a little loose this morning, I hope. And I don't mean loose in the sense of a liberty or a lifestyle in this world or in the way the world talks about it. But I'm telling you, God's children are not in bondage. You are free. There's no one who is as free as those who are the servants of the Lord and under the bondage of the Lord, under the bondage of His grace. If you're in grace, grace, oh, it's set you free. So you're not sitting there worrying about everything you've ever done in your life and whether that's going to send you to hell. Listen, there are a lot of people who worried like that. You know them. You probably have been among them. I've talked to some that I've tried to encourage so much that salvation's of the Lord, and they don't want to let loose of that part they're doing that they don't have any peace with at all, that they got it done. I don't understand that, but I know the Lord is able to allow them to see that. And I know my responsibility is keep on preaching that, because the only good news I know is the comfort ye my people. And it is a good news that will save even those who won't let loose of their own efforts. I would they would, because I'm telling you, there's peace in Him. There's peace about your eternal destiny. There's peace about a world that's so full of trouble and heartache. There's a rock to live your life and to build your life upon. There's a solid rock in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, Paul and Timotheus, who were the servants of this one. I'm telling you, we ought to be His servants. Listen, we're here to live for Him. Change is why you work. Change is how you live. It changes what you do. It changes whether you're young or old. Listen, if God's worked in your heart, He made you a new creature for a reason. You're His servant. You're His bond slave. You belong to Him. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Somebody might say, "Well, I just want to live my life any old way I want to." Well, that's a mess. There was a prodigal son who wanted that too, didn't he? Until he got so hungry, he was glad to get back home and do what the father told him. Listen, if you're a little child of grace, you've been brought under the captivity of one who will not let you go. And you are under the captivity of sin and Satan and death and hell. And there was nothing you could do to get out from under that. But listen, when He bought you on Calvary's tree and the Spirit of God comes working in your heart, He has brought you out of that captivity and brought you into another captivity where you're a captive of grace. Oh, that's a good sound. That means He who began it is going to finish it. You won't get away from it. Somebody said, "Well, I had it, but I lost it." Listen, I know in a timely sense we can lose the joy of our salvation. David knew much about that. And I've, sadly to say, felt that in my life. Have you ever gotten in those cold places where you've forgotten to pray? Or we have. Where we've forgotten to forgive? You know, the Bible says forgiveness. We heard that yesterday. If you don't forgive, He said, neither will I forgive you. I know people who apply that in the sense of getting into heaven, that if you don't forgive everybody of everything that they've ever done against you, you won't be forgiven and you'll lose heaven. Listen, if that would be the way we reach heaven, I dare say if we are honest with ourselves, none of us would have a hope today. But I'm not saying I don't want to take that text away, because I'm telling you, you don't forgive, your prayer life will be cut off. If you don't forgive, your fellowship with Him will be cut off. If you're holding ill against someone and we don't forgive one another, and how are we to forgive the way God has forgiven us? I'm telling you, He forgave me and He still forgives me. I say, Lord, I'll never do it again to find myself doing it again. I say, Lord, I'll never think that again. I'll try to put that away from me and make my best efforts to do it. But when I find I'm even doing it, I find evil present with me. Even if I get to do it, I'll say, boy, I really did good today, Lord. And forget if I did everything He told me to do all the time right now. It would never undo all I've done wrong. And I'd still be just an unprofitable servant. I've only done that which is my duty and responsibility to do. Salvation, dear ones, is by grace. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful? And I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, it won't be me you're thanking. It won't be you I'm thanking. It'll be the Lord we're all thanking. We won't run around and try to find some big evangelist. We won't be running over here and try to find some preacher, Old Baptist or otherwise. Or we're going to be seeing. We really won't be worrying so much about mama and daddy or brother and sister or daughter. I'm not saying we won't have a relationship and a fellowship in the Lord like we've had down here to some degree in the Lord. Lord, but it won't be like we've had in the flesh, because all that's going to be done and over. Can I say to you, though, it won't be less, it'll be more. It won't be worse, it'll be better. He won't knock your memory, Brian. He won't take away your... Listen, if He took away our memories, we couldn't remember what He's done for us. I believe His nail-scarred hands will mean more to us in glory than they do down here. And they mean a lot to us down here, don't they? Doesn't it mean a lot to you that there's a nail-scarred hands that took the pain and the anguish and the torment of Calvary's cross so that you and I could have life? And I'm telling you, up there, I believe we'll be truly, truly thankful. We'll be worshiping Him there like we ought to down here. And I'll tell you, the happiest you'll ever get in this world is when you're doing it down here. We ought to do it better, don't we? And we ought to do it together. And we ought to do it the way the Lord's taught us to do it. And when we forgive one another down here, we have sweet fellowship with Him. But when we hold ill towards one another, and we all do it from time to time, then it separates us in our communication with the Lord. Now life gets cold quick. So you say, what do you do then? You go to the Lord and say, forgive me. Somebody said, but He just forgave me yesterday. Well, He'll forgive you again today. You go to the Lord just like you ask for your bread. Do you ask for your bread one day and say, Lord, give us today, but we don't need to ask anymore? Guess what? You're going to get up tomorrow. You're going to have to say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And you know how many times you do that? Every day, every meal. Lord, give us. And in that same prayer that Jesus taught us how to pray, He said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are debtors against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And how often do you have to do that? Every day. The more you do it, and you say, well, I'm having trouble with that. Well, of course we are. Look to the Lord. He's able to give us the strength, the ability, and He'll keep us at it. Look, somebody else might not get over it, but you'll be at peace with it. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. He said, grace be unto you and peace. He said, he's writing here as a servant of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. They're the officers in that New Testament church. The bishops are talking about the elders or the pastors or the overseers. The word literally means overseers. Those who are given the responsibility not to be the boss, because there's only one boss. There's only one head, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I'm so thankful for that. Our headquarters in heaven, and our King is on His throne. And He, the Lord of our church, the head of our church, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He hasn't turned that over to some man. But He has called men to preach the gospel. And the word that he's given it to be is to be declared in order to teach God's little children how to live and act and behave. And the minister that's been called of God to do that is accountable unto the Lord to be a good under shepherd. He is to teach and to speak as the Lord would have him to teach and to speak. And he's charged and accountable unto God to be he's not the Lord over God's heritage, but he's to feed the flock of God whom the Lord has given him the rule or the oversight of. He is to watch over them. He's to care about them. He's to love them. When they hurt, he ought to hurt with them. When they're hungry, he ought to want to help them in any way that he can. When they need food, he needs to look to the Lord. Give me food to feed this little flock. There are some needs that brought you here this morning. I know some of them. And I know I'm not able to meet those needs, but I know his word can meet those needs. And I know he can apply his word to allow you to have those needs met. And there are many needs in this congregation I don't have a clue about. And you're glad I don't. I got some I'm glad you don't. But we know the Lord knows everything. Isn't that wonderful? The one with whom we have to do, according to the Hebrew letter, our high priest, all things are naked and open with him, the one with whom we have to do. He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart and can divide asunder even between the soul and the spirit. That's one thing I'm going to enjoy understanding better when I get home to glory is the separation between the soul and the spirit, because when my study of that, I get just get overwhelmed. I love seeing what I can see, but it's still through a glass darkly. One day we'll see face to face. And the marrow and the bone, that means he knows he knows what's going on in that old heart. The doctors can see what they can see, but there's a Lord who knows all about it. And he's the great physician. And we don't know what his will is in the matter, we just know his will is going to be best. And isn't that wonderful to be able to rest in that? Whether it is to live, Paul gets into that in this Philippian letter. If he says he had a desire to live and be among the brethren, but there was another part of him that desired to go on and be with the Lord, which he said is what? Far better. He said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And he told these brethren that whether I live or whether I die, I mean, I should be to the Lord and for the Lord. And if leaving this world is what the Lord would have for me to do, come welcome death. I'll gladly go with thee. But if I am to remain a little longer, which we want to do, don't we? I want to be here a little longer. I got family that I want to be with. I want to see this. I want to see that. It's the old nature. And it'll be that way until it's time for the Lord to say, come on home. And when he says, come on home, we're able to go home. We don't understand all about that. Sometimes it seems like, well, such tragic circumstances happen and occur. I don't understand why it happens. I know this, the secret things belong unto the Lord, so I sure don't need to be getting into them and try to explain them. But I'm thankful for this. We have what's revealed, that there's a God who's on his throne. And you can count on his overwhelming sovereign control in this world to the point that whatever occurs, it's under his sovereign control. He suffers it to be, and he will in it and through it and by it. And we're not meant to live always anyway. Sometimes we get so hung up with life as if that's it. Listen, in the light of eternity, your life is but a vapor. Not my opinion. Brother James taught us that. It's just here for a while, and it's soon gone. What does that mean? I mean, God's given me today. I better get all I can out of it. I love you. I love you, brethren. I want you to know I love you. I don't want us to go a day just taking that for granted. We don't know whether we'll ever meet here on this earth again. We don't know whether we'll ever have a time to open the scripture again. We don't know whether we'll ever sit with the congregation and sing again here in this world. And I sure don't want that last time to be just flippant. He's worthy of that. Of all the praise I can give, more than I'll ever give him. And if it's his will we'll not meet again, it's a better place. We're going to meet again over there. And it's a real place. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I believe he's given us many of those places right here in this world, but I believe there's an eternal home awaiting where all of God's children, without the loss of one, are going to be there, and it'll be a place of love and joy and peace unlike anything we've ever enjoyed in this world. And I'll guarantee you, you've enjoyed some good times in this world, haven't you? I mean, I don't mean the good times like the world talks about a good time. I've had my fill of those good times. It gave me, you know, a good time in the Lord, you're able to wake up in the morning and feel okay about it. A good time, sometimes people talk about a good time in this world, they can't tell you anything about it, they just don't even remember it, it's gone. I am so thankful for the little times where two or three have gathered together. And we sung hymns and we prayed together. Sometimes it's been hard, difficult places. I'm thankful for every meeting where we had fellowship in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, grace be to you. The bishops or the elders or the ministers, the deacons are those who are, as the minister is there to take care of the spiritual needs of the church, and the Lord has given us that office. There were also little widows and others that needed, the tables needed to be taken care of. In other words, there was feeding and the natural needs of the congregation. We don't just say, brother, we want to feed you spiritually, but we don't care whether you eat or drink or whether you have any natural needs. There are natural things that are needing to be taken care of in the assembly of the saints. And those responsibilities were given to deacons. That, isn't it wonderful how the Lord takes care of all of it? You know, we won't need the bishops or the deacons in heaven. But we need them here. We need those who are concerned about the well-being naturally of the church. Spiritual-minded men, but who are willing and able to take care of the natural things, as well as the ministers that are called of God, who are able to feed you from the Word of God. Now, how are they able to do that? God gives a gift to them to be able to do that. If God doesn't give them a gift, and if God doesn't bless them in that gift, they won't be able to do it. We can't just pick and choose our preachers. We need the Lord to call them. And when He calls them, they'll listen. If the Lord's called you, you walk in it. And we pray that He will send forth laborers into the harvest. I believe the harvest is white. You say, well, y'all just have a little flock. I see a little flock in here. I see a whole lot of flock out there. That's what I'm telling you. I look at this world. I see God's little children out there eating anything they can eat, trying to get something, trying to get a crumb that'll give them a measure of comfort and rest and peace. Some of them are wrapped up so much in the things of this world, in the sense they brought that into the worship service. They don't know it, but they don't understand it, and they need to be taught, but they're still God's children. If they love the Lord, it's because He first loved them, and there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, and He died for them. Whether they understand completely about His finished work, how many of us understand absolutely completely about His finished work? Would you like to have to take a test in order to enter heaven and immortal glory and pass the theological test in order to enter in? I'm telling you, if that's the way it is, we're in trouble. Because compared to the knowledge there is to know, I know nothing. And the Apostle Paul said he had to become a fool that he might become wise. The only wisdom I have, a wisdom, the wisdom that I have is what God has allowed me to have. But it's still in part. I only know in part. And I won't know in perfection until that which is perfect is come. Here's the good news. It's coming. It's coming. He's coming. He is that perfection. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy. And you read in the Ephesian letter and in the Roman letter and the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and to everybody just about that the Apostle Paul wrote to, you'll see he was praying for them specifically. You believe the Lord is teaching us through inspiration by the Word of God that we need to be praying for one another? Absolutely. And he says, how often did he do that? He said, always, get this, in every prayer of mine. This is the apostle unto the Gentiles given to us by God. God called him. Jesus struck him down on the road. as he was a persecuting Saul, and then made him an apostle Paul, and then gave him these words to tell us, even here today, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. Now we make requests for God's little children. Sometimes we say, well, is it okay for me? You ever thought, is it okay for me to ask for something that I need? It seems like I might be selfish if I ask. Have you ever felt like God's been so good to me? I'm almost hesitant to ask for something else. Sometimes God's little children have not because you ask not. And listen, it isn't what I said about it. He said, make your requests. Make your requests known unto God. It's no need trying to hide from the Lord. You know, sometimes we get the idea that if there's something that's bothering me, or I know it in the way it ought to be, I'll just try not to say anything about that in my prayer, as if the Lord doesn't already know what's bothering me. I'll just say, you know, I know sometimes my heart isn't right about something. I know I'm thinking about something wrong according to Scripture, and I'm battling with that, and I'm having a hard time with it. And sometimes I want to act like I just got that all straight, and even approach the throne of grace like I have it all straight. Listen, I need to succumb openly, confessing, Lord, I'm having trouble. I'm having trouble understanding. I'm having trouble with this situation. I'm having trouble with this and that. He already knows you're having trouble with it. It just gives you peace to get that off out of your heart, and then ask God for help. Help me, Lord. Help me understand. Give me peace. Give me rest. I'm telling you what He'll do. But that little brother says, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I believe He gave him belief. I believe He gave him help. For the little brother who says, I'm in the dark, I need light, I believe He'll lighten you up. Well, the one who says, Lord, I'm burdened down, relieve me, I believe He'll relieve you. I believe if your family's in trouble, you say, God, help my family. I believe He'll help your family. It won't be maybe just the way you want it to be, but how many of us know the best way? Our ways are not as His ways, and our thoughts are not as His thoughts. Paul prayed for them. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That meant he thought about all that they had gone through together in the gospel, or in the good news, in all the good meetings. How many little brothers and sisters have you known in nursing homes and in hospitals, can't get to the meetings anymore? And you go see them, and you think they're going to be down and so low, and yet the Lord just supplying to them in their memory so many times when they could go, and they remember those sermons preached so long ago, and He's feeding them. Sometimes they don't know their name, but they know how to sing the songs of Zion. Sometimes they don't know who you are, but they don't care as long as you look like one of God's little children that they've had fellowship along the way. They're not worried about it. They're not concerned about it because the Lord is blessing them with those memories. Listen, you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures in this earth. Because all the things you have in this earth, if you gain the world and your health goes, you won't be able to enjoy a bit of it. It just won't mean anything. It'll be empty. And one day it's all going to burn up anyway. But those precious memories, those treasures laid up in heavenly places of times you were able to go and visit and have the love and the fellowship we ought to have with one another, I'll tell you, those things mean so very, very much to you. They're valuable in this world. When they come by His grace. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, when you're talking about fellowship, it isn't just about you and me being a good buddy or a good friend. Oh, I have the friends that are my sweetest friends are those who I have gospel fellowship with. They're my dearest friends. They're my closest family. They're the ones I can share it all with. They're the ones I can weep with, and they don't think I'm crazy. They're the ones I can laugh with, and they understand why we can have sweet fellowship. That's why their fellowship is so vitally important. And I want you to know, according to the Scripture, if we have fellowship in the gospel, our fellowship is not just with us, but it's with the Father, and it's with the Son, and it's in the communion of the Holy Spirit. And our fellowship is so wonderfully important because it's not just with you and me. We have fellowship. We're seated with the. We feel the Lord's presence. I feel like I'm among the family when I'm among the brethren. I feel like I'm among the family of God because I feel the Lord's presence. They're God's little children. They're praying to God as their Father. They're preaching about Jesus Christ, their elder brother. We have a common kinship in the Lord. We're dependent upon the Holy Spirit who is in our hearts. He's in my heart and in your heart. And He's that tie, that love that He gives us at all is that tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. It's where our fellowship comes from. It's all in Him. You take Him out of our fellowship. You remove Him from us. If we leave Him on the outside, we come into this meeting house, you're about to see a house turn into it'll be a fight. It can happen so quick. Listen, it can happen so quick. But if you're sitting there in friendship and in kinship with the Lord, you know, you just think of His forgiveness for you and how that you just think about everything differently. He says, being confident of this very thing. Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing. Paul was confident about this. Paul was confident about this. That He which has begun a good work in you. Notice He didn't say that I'm confident in you in the sense that you're going to keep it. He wasn't confident in the flesh. Matter of fact, over in the third chapter, He says we are that circumcision that put no confidence in the flesh, but trust in the living God. Trust in God. He says, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it. That means if He's worked that in your heart, you're His, you belong to Him. All the way through your life, you may pull away, you may be chastened, you may be greatly chastened. You may be like a Solomon or a Samson, greatly chastened in this life. But He will not lose one of His children. He will not lose one of His elect. Some people say, you mean you believe in once saved, always saved? Well, the Apostle Paul did, so I believe I ought to. He says here, for being confident of this very thing. And that is, of course, in an eternal application. There are some time deliverances we can miss along the way when we fail to do what the Lord has told us to do. But our eternal salvation was never in our work. It was in His work, His finished work, and what He's done for us. And He who began that work in us, it says He will perform it. That means that spirit that He's worked on the inside, you'll never lose that. That spirit is you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That could be the day we leave this world, when the Lord comes, or it could be the day the Lord comes and we see Him in the air. He will not lose one of His. The 8th chapter of the book of Romans says there's absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I appreciate your kind attention today. Love one another. Pray for one another. Be at peace with one another. Forgive one another. Remember all that the Lord has done for us. And just be thankful for His wonderful and amazing grace. And you can count on Him. Listen, men will let you down. Even brethren and sisters will let you down. But the Lord, your elder brother, will never, ever leave you or forsake you. We sang it. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. And when you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
Love you, my brother. Bless you.
What number? 325.